Okay, so our next speaker is Anthony Ugoni. Anthony is the Head of Analytics and Research Operations in Marketing at National Australia Bank. And believe it or not, he doesn't look this old, but he's been working within analytical environments since 1962. actually, 1992. I changed that bit. His career began in epidemiological surroundings and worked as a biostatistician to the Alpha Group of Hospitals jointly with Monash Medical School between 92 and 94, and then he worked as a lecturer in biostatistics at the University of Melbourne between 1995 and 2000. In 2000, he joined National Australia Bank, where he worked in the credit card fraud team, and they achieved some ridiculously good results here compared to the rest of the industry. In 2003, he moved into the Analytical Marketing Group and was given the opportunity to lead the customer analytics team soon after, which is where he works today. And I know I work quite closely with Ann on a bunch of stuff, and he runs a very good team, and he's a great bloke. He holds a Master of Science from La Trobe University, and he's also an associate at the School of Physiotherapy at the University of Melbourne. So please join me in welcoming Ant.
Thank you. Just to let you know, I'm not being rude. I'm terrible at keeping time during these presentations, so I've actually got my stopwatch on. So I'm going to keep looking down at my phone. Hopefully nobody rings during the presentation because that'll throw me off. Thank you for turning up. As Adam suggested in the title, in my history, I don't have your background. I don't necessarily work in your industry, so I'm a little bit humbled that you've turned up at all. I also feel a little bit guilty. Adam warned me about making these sorts of jokes, but actuaries turning up to a marketing presentation is quite unique. I can tell you, hand on heart, that at a marketing conference, if there were any actuarial presentations, I wouldn't be at that presentation. So moving along, I'm going to talk about the greatest campaign you never want to launch. A couple of things. I'm going to actually ask you a question about halfway through the presentation, so try to be alert, see if you can figure out what the answer is during the presentation. I'm not going to tell you what the actual campaign is for quite a while. So if you're sitting there thinking, why is he talking about all these results and the input that went into the campaign? Well, we don't actually know the campaign. It's deliberate. So the greatest campaign. Campaign overview. In November 2010, we had a large-scale campaign go out below the line. So for those of you who don't know the difference between below the line and above the line in marketing, above the line is broadcast. So TV, print, billboards, etc. Anything that you might see on a web page that's kind of at a broadcast level, not at a targeted level. We work in the world of below the line, where by its very nature, below the line is a targeted message to a customer. So on the back of that, there needs to be a little bit of insight as to why the customer was targeted for this particular campaign, for this particular message. So the overview being November 2010. The results that I present today are 12-month results, but the campaign has now almost turned over 18 months since launch date. And there are a number of... It had stopped quite a while ago. There's still a large amount of interest in this campaign within the organisation. In terms of sample size, there's a lot of IP that I can't share today, but what I can tell you is that sample size for this particular campaign was not an issue. It was the single largest campaign that I've worked on within the organisation, and I've now been in marketing for just short of 9 years. Okay, so CRM, customer relationship management practices, were there good practices going on? This particular campaign had it in spades. So we identified the single best conversation to be having with these customers at the time. Conference full of really clever analytic type of people. If I gave you access to all the data that we held on our customers, and you were able to get your hands on all the analytic techniques and methodologies at your disposal, and you had all the time in the world to analyse these customers, you would not have been able to figure out a better conversation to have with these customers at the time. This was the single best conversation to be having at the time. Guaranteed. Targeted customers were isolated. So if anybody does work within marketing, there are a lot of product lines. As much as we like to talk in the industry and marketing in general, as our organisation's been customer-centric, there are still a lot of product mentalities going on, particularly given that the products hold profit and loss statements. There are very few organisations that have P&Ls against the customer. So the product silos, if they're not talking to these great customers at any single one time, they will try to sneak in on the messages of everybody else who's talking to those customers. So the general insurance campaigns usually like to kind of tag along with the home loan campaigns if they hear that there's a home loan campaign going on. These customers had one message going on. There was nobody piggybacking off this campaign. There was no spillage or leakage into any other campaigns. They were isolated and held to this single conversation only. Supporting channels were fully engaged, so more good CRM practices. The supporting channels for us usually mean our inbound channels. So those are, in terms of analytic marketing at NAB, those are tellers, call centre and internet banking. So if you turned up to a branch, branches have their own targets. Regardless of them falling behind in any single target going on at the time, they were on message with this particular campaign, supporting their targets or not. If they were falling behind on home loans, they weren't allowed to talk to the customer about home loans. If they were falling behind on deposits, deposit conversation didn't take place. The tellers only spoke about this particular campaign. Similarly with internet banking, as you came into our internet banking environment, the only proactive messages that you saw related to this campaign, and similarly with our call centre environment. As you rang in, we serviced you, and conversation was then had around this one campaign that I haven't quite revealed just yet. Post-campaign contact rules strictly adhere to. So what does this mean? So is everybody familiar with contact strategy within these organisations? No? So it simply means from a CRM practice, relationship management practice, we don't like to talk to you about too many things too frequently. So 15 years ago, before we had our analytic environment put in place at National Australia Bank, we had an example of one customer receiving 14 separate and in some cases conflicting marketing messages within the space of 2 weeks. That was one of the catalysts for the organisation putting together our CRM environment. And we're still pretty good today. However, within several million odd customers within National Australia Bank, and this will be true for any organisation, there's a pocket of customers that every product line and every distribution business wants to talk to. They're the affluent, high transacting, high revenue making customers within the organisation. Consequently, what will happen with these customers is when the home loan guys have launched, the deposits guys are waiting for a very short period of time thereafter to then talk to those same customers about their deposit product. The insurance guys are waiting for the very same short period of time to talk about their particular product. Within this campaign, we had a long lead time thereafter before anybody else could talk to these customers about anything other than the campaign that will be revealed soon enough. Executive support. So right to the top, Cameron Klein, our CEO, was right across this campaign, gave us a mandate to execute, gave us cut through a whole bunch of bureaucracy, gave us access to legal, gave us access to compliance to get this campaign out the door as soon as possible. Cameron wanted to know on a daily basis, once his campaign had launched, what was going on. Cameron spoke in glowing terms about the need to support this campaign through all our human channels. I think board support is the next one. It's a board endorsement. So this campaign was so important to the organisation that the board knew about it, and they too, early days, were looking for updates on a regular basis. So strangely enough, I'll go to results before I tell you what the campaign is. The suspense is building. Satisfaction measures. So these are the results for a 12-month period post-campaign launch. Satisfaction measures. We didn't have a particular satisfaction survey going out with these customers. These are our broad satisfaction measures that go on a regular basis within the organisation. In 17 satisfaction measures, so for the 17 main satisfaction measures that we pull in through the organisation with our customers, customers targeted on this campaign versus those who weren't targeted showed positive satisfaction results in 14 of 17 measures. So much better than chance, a good result on its own. Account opening, so the white bar is meant to represent the typical range, and again, more IP. I can't actually show you the measures on any horizontal axis there. But for relative terms, most campaigns around its time, and I think that white line represents 40 or 50-odd campaigns, didn't come close to this particular campaign in terms of account opening. So again, the customers targeted in this campaign versus those who weren't involved, 72% better account opening if you were targeted within this campaign. Reduction in defection. Customers targeted in the campaign displayed great retention. Defection was cut down to a third of natural defection that we see across the customer group. And you can actually see the white line. We have some campaigns that actually work reverse to our favour. And I won't say too much more about that. But this campaign outstripped, you know, all the other campaigns of its time in terms of retention. So footings growth. So if so, this is a financial services forum, right? So everybody familiar with footings? Here, a dollar of deposits and a dollar of drawn down lendings equals $2 of footings. So it's our financial measure of how much business we have with you as a customer. For the customers who were targeted in this campaign, they shot the lights out. We couldn't believe the footings growth in this group compared to customers who weren't in this particular campaign. 65% better than control. We were so amazed by this particular result that I had another one of my senior members go and redo the analysis without telling the first guy who had done the analysis, just to check that particular piece. If I'd gone to any campaign manager in October 2010 and said to them, I'll launch a campaign for you that will look like this in 12 months' time, they would have been falling over themselves to have their product or their service aligned with this campaign. It is, on all measures that we've looked at, one of the most successful campaigns we've ever launched. So I mentioned before that it was a below the line campaign, which by its very nature means we had to find some way to target these customers. Adam mentioned before the great leadership in customer analytics in marketing at National Australia Bank. And we've got a very mature environment. I'm blessed with a very large team full of very smart people. And on top of that, the banks in Australia seem to pay a little bit more than most other industries. So I really do have access to some of the best analytic types in our field, particularly within Victoria. So we've got a number of options regarding the ways that we can select our customers. So we have a very mature propensity modelling environment. My propensity modellers have a number of KPIs. The number one KPI is make sure every customer is scored at every single moment for every product that we have on offer, plus the ability to migrate between products, plus the ability to utilise the product, plus defection, plus a number of other ranges. So propensity modelling is certainly certainly one of the more common ways that we can select customers. I'm building up to something here, so stay with me first, presentation after lunch. The ability to target through data-driven clustering, so factor analysis, etc., both supervised and unsupervised. We may sometimes be looking for clusters that cluster around a particular example of something that we're trying to market to, or we may just simply be looking for natural clusters of customers that we never knew existed. Bad PowerPoint there. So research-driven segments. I look after the research operations group. So we do a large amount of research trying to identify pockets of customers that other people in the industry hadn't necessarily cottoned on to. So another opportunity to inform this campaign. Test and learn marketing. This is the nice way of saying the general manager had a half-baked idea somewhere and demanded that we launch on the back of it. We do a fair amount of this in the industry. And every so often they get it right. And this drives a large amount of our marketing portfolio gaps. So we'll plan out our marketing efforts 12 months in advance. At the moment, it's safe to say that the mortgages market in Australia is slowing down. So regardless of our planning, we ramp up our mortgages efforts to support that gap. And on top of that, we have the ability to drive... we have a large number of levers to drive successful campaigns through offer. This campaign that I'm talking about had nothing to do with any of this. So I didn't go through that for my own benefit. Actually, to make a point later on in the presentation around the importance of the big message that will come out of this campaign. So what was the campaign? So this is the question to you. This page is blank. When I click the button, it actually will remain blank because I'm not allowed to commit to any physical media that you might take away with you this particular campaign. Such was the incredible IP that went into it, the commerciality, plus our public relations guys, corporate relations, actually don't want this getting out into a public domain in any voluminous type of way. So has anybody got any idea in November 2010 what we may have launched at the time? Was it the breakup? Who said that? That's a good guess. What you probably know, analytic people such as myself, romantic as we are, breakup was launched on Valentine's Day, 2011, so February. But it was a great guess, and I'm thrilled that you brought it up because we won the Gold Logie, Best Actor, Emmy for it, etc. Extraordinarily successful campaign. But no, it wasn't breakup. It wasn't breakup. And that's the first thing that people go to when I talk about these results. So, no, it wasn't breakup. And breakup was, for the most part, an above-the-line campaign. Any other guesses? Come on. This is the Financial Services Forum? No? Okay. In November 2010, the gremlin kind of walked through the security gates at Knox, our large infrastructure centre. And the short story is a large number of our customers didn't have any money left in their accounts when they expected cash to be. I spoke earlier on sample size for this campaign. Lots, it was a big sample size. And we had customers, the great thing about the campaign was we reacted positively to it, but it happened, I think, on a Thursday. We actually had customers who went through a whole weekend without cash in their accounts. We opened branches throughout the entire weekend to assist, but these customers were inconvenienced in such a way that we hadn't seen before. I'm happy to say, if this isn't being recorded, that our competitors have had a number of issues, similar issues, in recent times as well, so we're not isolated. So this was the campaign. We literally targeted these customers and we spoke to them about the problem. We rectified, of course, in a matter of days. We restored their balances back to what they should have been. We restored any interest that had may have incurred. Even on that short period of time, down to the last cent, we made sure the customers were reimbursed. But we didn't actually put anything else on top of the offer to the customer. We simply put them back to the position that they were before our systems kind of fell over on that day. We spoke to the customers at length, and if I go back to all those good CRM practices before, you can see why the board were involved, our CEO endorsed the campaign, all our frontline, both inbound and outbound. Nobody was speaking to the customers about, hey, would you like to buy a home loan while you're here? Probably wasn't the right time to be talking to them about another offer. But at the same time, we wanted to make sure that the customers weren't inconvenienced more than they needed to be. So I take you back to the results, right? In the knowledge of what the campaign was about, in the knowledge of how we targeted the customers, again, better than average satisfaction results. Increase in accounts, all right? Extraordinary. A reduction in defection. Look at the results again and think about the campaign that went on. Defection was reduced by 2/3. Those customers stuck around longer on average than customers who weren't involved in that campaign. I shouldn't say campaign, but the issue at the time. And footings growth. These people had all the money taken out of their accounts and then decided over the course of the next 12 months to give us more of their business. And I stand here in front of you today, job title, head of analytics, with a large team doing a truckload of analytics work, and there was not a single piece of analytics that went into this campaign. The message that we use internally within the organisation regarding this particular campaign is the importance of everything that goes around the analytics. So I can bring in Nobel Prize winning statisticians, mathematicians who can produce brilliant insight, but unless you have an organisation that's on message, unless you have an organisation that is consolidated in using that insight, you're just not going to get results. And if you don't believe me, there is precedent. There's absolute precedent. This is very simple, real data. Again, IP, not allowed to show you the verticals there. These are the retention or defection. These are the retention figures around three groups. There are a number of big messages in this particular slide. The red line is just natural defection right across our consumer base. So we, like anybody else, will admit to it. We have customers who leave us, and there is a natural baseline that will always leave us. The arrows have had a great presentation that wasn't in your which wasn't in your format. Got my knuckles wrapped this morning, so I had to transfer it. So the arrows are all over the shop. The blue lines are customers that we've selected for retention conversations. So what that means is we've built some models in the background, propensity models. The blue line represents the defection rates of customers who have scored highly with our defection models. Okay. So immediately when our executive sees the picture between the red and the blue, they say, well, something's going wrong. In actual fact, everything's going right. The red line is just natural defection. The blue line is the behaviour of, you know, the really upset customers. You would hope that the blue line was travelling below the red line for the model to be any good. The green line represents those same customers who were actually spoken to. So the blue line, no conversation. We identified them 24 months earlier as having high propensity to defect, had no opportunity to have a conversation with them for various reasons. The green line represents those customers with a high propensity to defect, but we did have an opportunity to have a conversation. For the most part, and I won't say that this is true for every single retention/defection effort that we have in the organisation, there is no offer available to incentivise these customers to stick around any longer. It's simply a, g'day, how are you going? Is everything working well enough with your products with us? Is there anything we can help you with? It's a general kind of bland conversation that we have with the customer. But the incremental value in just having that conversation, when you're talking about tens of thousands to hundreds of thousands of customers at home loan size business, the value is enormous. So I talk about precedent. This is another terrible conversation. We actually struggle to get our front line to make these conversations. We need to corral. We need to recruit specially into a call centre people who are happy to talk to customers who are not too happy with us to try to convince them to stick around. So precedent, bad reason for calling, having just a good conversation with endorsement from the organisation with the right CRM practices still drives value. So if I took you back to the earlier slides, more footings, better defection, better retention, more account opening, better satisfaction, no analytics, great CRM. I've given this presentation to a group of students. It goes without saying to this group, but I'll say it anyway. You can build the best insight, but if you don't have the right communications, the right change management, your insight is dead in the water. Now, so National Australia Bank, we're really lucky. In a different presentation that I give, I talk about, when I went to university studying stats, the implicit assumption, it wasn't even stated at the beginning of every lecture, was that there was a single customer view across every problem that you worked on. And when I started with National Australia Bank, I actually found out that they had only implemented a single customer view the same year I started university in 1988. When I turned up, I thought, oh my God, these people are so backwards. It's just incredible that they've taken so long to do that. In actual fact, as I spent a little bit more time in the industry, I found out that we were quite advanced. So we're quite fortunate within the Australian region, within what we call the Red Star Australian region, being National Australia Bank, we have a very well-defined single customer view of our customer group. For a number of reasons, the main driver at the moment being, in recent times, being anti-money laundering. Organisations just need to pull that together, otherwise they're in dire straits. So across our personal bank and our business bank, we're very good. What we don't have is we don't have a good view across our other businesses. So us to UBank, us to MLC, we're working on those environments. So the work that I'm talking about here is restricted to Red Star, but there is work afoot to try to rectify the problem across the other brands. Yeah, I didn't really answer your question, just kind of gave you a sense of the problem that we work with. But there are any number of... It depends on what you want to do. If anti-money laundering, you need to get it right. For Basel purposes, you need to get it right. For marketing purposes, close enough is sometimes good enough. Yeah.
And quick question, I guess. One of the implications of the campaign you mentioned, where you didn't really end up doing anything for the customers, was the positive reaction to dealing with the problem. And my own impression has been that because people basically dislike and fear their financial institutions, that solving a problem well is much more valuable than actually providing good service all the time. I'm interested in your reaction to that, because it almost says you're better off creating a problem and solving it well than just providing good service.
So that's why the title of the presentation is The Best Campaign You Never Want to Launch. So we took a version of this to our exco, who had the same reaction. Do we create a problem? But to get great results again. The answer is no. But, as a parallel, a large part of what we do, CRM, so customer analytics, it has that title, customer, in the middle. So what we do is we mine the data to find reasons to talk to the customer. And those reasons are typically to find a solution to a problem that a customer might have. So it could be as simple as telling the customer, look, you've got two term deposits. If you stuck them together, you'd get a better rate, because we can give you a better carded rate with that higher deposit. So, the solution to a problem that the customer didn't know exist, and we get great reactions out of that. To the more, if we identify, the industry has spoken for a number of years now about life events, so having a baby, doing a renovation, travelling overseas. In your terminology, these are problems that the customer has, and we get great results. And we go to the customer and say, we think you're about to do something, we have some solutions in place that would help you transition. So your point is valid. We look for problems so that we can bring the solution to the customer, as opposed to a distribution or a product line whose sole purpose it is to flog product. We come in with the insight in the hope that there's a product to flog. Yep.
I might just ask a related question, actually, which it's interesting working with the marketing team, obviously, with you. What was the reaction of the actual marketers? Because not that you're not a marketer, mate, but it's one thing for the analytics team to do all of this work and look at the results, but for a marketer, surely it was a bit depressing that all of their work and they get so hung up on getting good PR and all of this sort of stuff. And here's an example where the bank had terrible PR at the time, yet you got outstanding results. So what was the result of all these guys who spent all their time trying to get little articles to get good PR?
The reaction from the market is actually quite positive in the sense that they know that all this good stuff needs to go in the background. So part of their struggle is getting all that good stuff in the background happening. Engaging with us is easy. The analytics piece, it's mostly there ready to go, waiting for them to execute. The board endorsement, the CEO attention on the particular problem at the time, getting all that stuff, that's the hard bit. So this is actually a bit of a weapon in their back pocket to get their campaigns up and running in a more successful manner. So positive.
I think we're done, but maybe if everyone can join me in thanking Ant. I thought that was a great presentation.
Thank you.